Good morning. I don't hear all your responses from home, but I'm sure that you said good morning when I said good morning. Our passage today is Psalm 136. And if you're familiar with this psalm, you know that it has a refrain after every line which says, "For his steadfast love is forever." If you don't know that now, in a few minutes, you will definitely know it and remember it. But to start with, I'm going to read the whole psalm without the refrain so that we can get the storyline. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. Give thanks to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. Give thanks to him who led his people through the desert, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance to his servant Israel. Give thanks to the one who remembered us in our lowest state and who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. In the first part of this poem, Psalm 136, verses 1 to 3, summon us to give thanks to the Lord. I'll read it again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. The triple summons to give thanks to the Lord sets the tone for this poem. In the last verse of this psalm, the poet will remind us once again to give thanks. The whole poem is wrapped in this package of gratitude. But in the style of Hebrew poetry, give thanks is implied at the beginning of almost every verse. The poet not only tells us four times to be grateful, but he will give us many reasons to be grateful to the Lord our God. The first reason he gives us is that the Lord is good. When he says that the Lord is good, he means absolutely good and eternally good. And the refrain of this song will emphasize this theme. In verse 1, the psalmist uses God's personal name, Yahweh. You know that when the word Lord appears in your Bible text with four capital letters, that it represents the Hebrew name Yahweh. It is God's personal name, like my personal name is Herb, like our pastor's personal name is Tommy. The name Yahweh is significant. It is not just there for variety as a designation for God. God reveals his name and the meaning of it to Moses in Exodus 3. God was calling Moses to become the leader of his people Israel, to lead them out of Egypt and to bring them to the promised land. We read about this encounter between God and Moses in Exodus 3, verses 13 to 15. In this encounter, Moses said to God, "If I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' then what shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." When God said, I am who I am, he was telling Moses that he is self-existent. The God who spoke to Moses is the self-existent God. The Bible begins with God creating the universe. Everything that exists was created by God. Only God was not created. He simply is. You and I exist because we have parents who existed before us. And our parents existed because they had parents who existed before them. And it goes back to the beginning when God created the first man and woman who became the parents of all of us. But God simply exists. He is. He doesn't depend on any other person or force to exist. He exists, and in other passages of the scriptures, we learn that he has always existed and he will always exist. Then after God has said to Moses, I am who I am, he also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. God says that his name is Yahweh. He has a personal name, Yahweh. Yahweh means something like he is. God's personal name points to the personal relationship he wishes to have with his people. He wants to relate to people on a personal basis. That means he wants to speak to us, and he wants us to speak to him. He wants you to speak to him, and he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me, and he wants me to speak to him. So the psalmist says, give thanks to Yahweh, the personal God who wants to relate to us in a personal way. However, there is a gap between God and human beings. Our original ancestors decided to do things their own way instead of God's way, and so they broke the original relationship they had with God. This rebellion against God is called sin. But God made a way for people to reestablish that original relationship and maintain a relationship with him. God chose a nation, the Israelites, and he gave them instructions about how to establish and maintain a relationship with him. This involved sacrifices and ceremonies which symbolically reestablished the relationship with God. All these sacrifices were foreshadowings of the ultimate sacrifice of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a descendant of the Israelites in the Old Testament. And now we can have that personal relationship with God that he wants us to have. We can have that personal relationship with God by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus. I'm just reminding you of the things that you already know. The first part of this psalm also tells us that God, whose name is Yahweh, is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. That means that there is no power in the universe that is greater than God. In the second part of this psalm, verses 4 to 9, tell us the story of creation. Verses 4 to 9. Give thanks to him who alone does great wonders, who by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. Yahweh, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, created the universe. This God to whom we should be thankful is the creator of the universe. If we can really get a hold of that fact, the fact that our God is the one who created the world and everything that is in it, If we can grasp this concept, we will be compelled to worship Him. We will want to glorify Him. We will have to sing songs which praise Him. The fact that our God is the creator of the universe also gives us comfort in a time like this, when the whole world is living in fear. We don't have to be afraid. Our God is still the ruler of the universe. He is still in control of events. God is speaking to us today. When everything is going well, people generally don't think about God very much. But when things go wrong, as they definitely are right now, people are beginning to think about things differently. I'm not going to pretend to be a prophet making a prophetic pronouncement, and I don't think I'm saying anything that you haven't already thought about. Yahweh, the God whom this psalmist is singing about, is the creator. Then the poet mentions a few of the things that God has created, the sun, the moon, and the stars. This is his poetic way of saying that God created the whole universe. In the third part of this psalm, verses 10 to 15, tell us the story of the Exodus of the Israelites from their 400 years slavery in Egypt. Verses 10 to 15. Give thanks to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Give thanks to him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. In later parts of the Bible, when the Lord spoke to his people Israel, he often identified himself as the one who brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This is the one who saved them from being slaves in Egypt. He was their savior. Verse 10 summarizes the event that finally persuaded Pharaoh to let the Israelites leave Egypt. The firstborn in every Egyptian household died. And God instituted a ceremony for the Israelites which was to remind them of this rescue later on in history. In this ceremony, a lamb was slaughtered, and the blood of the lamb was put on the door frames of their houses. The blood on the door frame was a sign that the residents of that house were Israelites and not Egyptians. And when the angel of death came to an Israelite household that had the lamb's blood on the door frames of the house, he passed over that house and the firstborn was kept safe. And that's why this ceremony is called Passover. Jewish people, who are the descendants of the Israelites, celebrated this event a few weeks ago. This ceremony involved the sacrifice of a lamb, which was the foreshadowing of the death of our Lord Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. The Lord Jesus gave his life. His blood was shed to give us a way of escape from our slavery to sin. So the people of Egypt, or of Israel, left Egypt and trekked into the desert. But Pharaoh changed his mind about letting them get away, and so he went after them with his army. At the shore of the Red Sea, he caught up with them. But then God opened up a dry passage through the sea to let the Israelites escape from the Egyptian army. And when the Egyptian army followed them, the waters came back together and drowned the Egyptians. God completed the rescue of Israel from Egypt by destroying the Egyptian army. In the fourth part of this psalm, verses 16 to 20, Tell us a story of God's leading and care for his people when they were traveling through the desert on their way to the promised land. Verses 16 to 20. Give thanks to him who led his people through the desert, who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. The Israelites had escaped from their life as slaves, but they still had to travel to the land that God had promised their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the concept of God as Savior has two parts. God saved the people from their slavery to the Egyptians, but he also guarded and sustained them through their years in the wilderness. God was their protector. In his final speech to the Israelites, just before they entered the promised land, Moses pointed out to them that God had guided them through a desert that was infected with poisonous snakes and scorpions. Moses also reminded them that in their 40 years in the wilderness, their clothes had not worn out, and their feet had not swollen from the long trekking. God had sustained the Israelites and protected them. He had fed them with manna, and he had given them water out of a rock. In the fifth part of the psalm, verses 21 and 22 tell us the story of God giving his people a home in the land of Canaan. Verse 21 and 22. Give thanks to him, and he gave their land as an inheritance to his servant Israel. This was their goal. Now, after 40 years on the road, a journey that was filled with incidents of God's care and protection, they were at their goal. On the journey, they had learned many important lessons, and now they were going to see the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to Abraham 685 years earlier. God had promised his people this land, and Abraham's descendants were now on the border of this land. You have noticed, I hope, that this 40-year event in the life of Israel is not only history, but also symbolically represents our journey from being slaves to sin to being brought to our final home. In the sixth part of this poem, in verses 23 to 26, the poet summarizes the previous narrative, and then in the last verse, verse 26, he reminds us of what he said in the first three verses. He wraps up the poem by repeating what he said in the first three verses. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Verses 23 to 26. To the one who remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies, and who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. The poet began with a call to be grateful, and he ends with a call to be grateful. Gratitude should be one of the major characteristics of a Christian. So we have seen what the narrative in the poem tells us, but now we have to get to the main emphasis of this psalm. The poet has said it 26 times. His steadfast love is forever. The word steadfast love is the Hebrew word chesed. Pastor Tommy has used this word chesed several times in his sermon, so you've heard it before. But let me explain what the word chesed means. This word chesed, which is translated as steadfast love in the ESV, is a very rich word. It is so rich in meaning that different translators have given us different aspects of its meaning. Dissertations and journal articles have been written about this one little word. The word chesed has been translated as mercy, love, loving kindness, and steadfast love. This word chesed is also used in connection with the covenant relationship that God has with his people. In the covenant sense, it means loyalty of the two parties to each other. Excuse me. So every time we read the word chesed, we have to remember all the rich meaning that is packed into it. Each of the 26 verses in this psalm remind us that the Lord's steadfast love is forever. The writer of this psalm, this poet who composed this song of thanksgiving, took Moses' instructions in Deuteronomy 6, very seriously when he wrote this song. The book of Deuteronomy consists of a number of speeches that Moses made to the people of Israel just before they entered the promised land. They are on the plains of Moab, about to enter the promised land. Now Moses knows these people, and he knows what they're like, and he's giving them instructions on how to behave when they enter the land that the Lord had promised them. Now, in the part of his speech recorded in Deuteronomy 6, Moses has just reviewed various instructions that God has given to his people, including the Ten Commandments. And in verses 6 and 7, he says, "These words which I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." And the word "teach diligently" means repeat over and over again. And so the poet who wrote Psalm 136 took this instruction very seriously, very literally in his construction of this poem. So every time we read the refrain, "For his steadfast love is forever," we are reminded that God will always be loyal to his people. God will always love his people. God will always be faithful to his people. God's steadfast love will never end. It will never, never, never end. There's one more thing we need to take notice of in this psalm. The narrative, beginning with creation and going on to salvation and preservation and fulfillment, is based on history. The refrain talks about the future, but each verse talks about the past. Almost every verse refers to something that happened in the past. A Canadian educator named Marshall McLuhan, a scholar of the 1960s, had an interesting way of talking about the past and the future. He pictured us as being in a vehicle that was moving ahead, but we couldn't see where we're going. The windshield of our vehicle is opaque, but we have a rearview mirror in which we can see where we have been. He pictured us as being in this vehicle that's moving forward, and we have to steer it, but we don't know where we're going. The only way we can tell where we're going is to look in the rearview mirror to see where we have been. And I think the writer of Psalm 136 is like this. He's looking back, and he's remembering all the wonderful things that God has done in the history of his people, but he's also confident of what lies ahead. After each glance in the rearview mirror, he tells us with confidence that God's steadfast love is forever. He still doesn't know what is ahead, but he knows that God is there and that God's steadfast love will always be there. When we look in the rearview mirror and see where we have been and what has happened to us in the past, when we see how God has led us where we are to where we are now, we have to say with the psalmist that God's steadfast love, his covenant loyalty, his mercy has brought us to this place and will continue to be with us forever. It's quite possible that this psalm was composed to be recited responsively. And so we're going to do that now. I will read the storyline, that is, I will take a glance into the rearview mirror, and you who are here, and you who are at home, will remind me and all of us together that we don't have to fret about what's coming. So I will read the verse and you will recite the refrain. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love is forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love is forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his steadfast love is forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love is forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love is forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
For his steadfast love is forever.
Who made the great lights.
For his steadfast love is forever.
The sun to govern the day.
For his steadfast love is forever.
The moon and stars to govern the night.
For his steadfast love is forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
For his steadfast love is forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
For his steadfast love is forever.
With a mighty hand and outstretched arm.
For his steadfast love is forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea asunder.
For his steadfast love is forever.
And brought Israel through the midst of it.
For his steadfast love is forever.
But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea.
For his steadfast love is forever.
To him who led his people through the desert.
For his steadfast love is forever.
Who struck down great kings.
For his steadfast love is forever.
And killed mighty kings.
For his steadfast love is forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his steadfast love is forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his steadfast love is forever.
And gave their land as an inheritance.
For his steadfast love is forever.
An inheritance to his servant Israel.
For his steadfast love is forever.
To the one who remembered us in our low estate.
For his steadfast love is forever.
And freed us from our enemies.
For his steadfast love is forever.
And who gives food to every creature.
For his steadfast love is forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
For his steadfast love is forever.
And whatever the future holds for us, his steadfast love is forever. Heavenly Father, thank you for this reminder.